today as we come to the table.
Paul is saying here, I'm walking with God in the power of God as the anointed of God, and God is sending me into suffering. Sometimes God sends you into suffering, guys. Some of you may be in suffering from the world. Some of you may be in suffering sent to you by God. Say, why would God do that? Because God uses suffering for two reasons. Once, the Bible says that we might partake of the suffering of Christ, the goal being that we might know God in a deeper way, because we experience what Jesus experienced, and hence we know him in a deeper way. But also, number two, sometimes the only way that we can be changed and grow into what God wants us to be is to go through suffering.
When you think of suffering, does anything good come to mind? In today's message, Pastor Mark will point out that sometimes what you need to go through in your walk with the Lord is suffering, not because of something you did to deserve it, but to bring you to a place of dependence on God to get you through it. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. It's important to look for God's guidance and wisdom in hard times. The suffering you go through is an opportunity to grow closer to God and to trust Him more. There's nothing that can come against you that God isn't powerful enough to get you through. You have to keep your heart on Him. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 20, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Remember, the Jews were always chasing Paul down, trying to get Paul because they hated him. He wasn't sticking with Judaism. Plus, he was preaching Jesus, who they didn't agree with. And so they were stuck in their religion. Paul was stuck in the gospel. And those two don't get along well. And so they were chasing Paul down, trying to capture him and just do whatever they could to him to damage him. And he says the entire time, even though this happened, he continued on. Why does he bring that up? He brings it up to say, I didn't stop. I didn't quit. I didn't just give up because everybody was attacking me. And here's another thing that we've got to understand when we step into ministry. There are going to be attacks. There will be spiritual attacks. There's going to be physical attacks. Now, it may not be physical and such as, you know, harming you or punching, that kind of thing. But you're going to have people that are going to come against you in opposition in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. And when that happens, we have to recognize, okay, this is going to happen. And then when it does happen, we have to soldier on. That's the bottom line. We have to say, all right, God, you're going to have to give me power. And I want you to know something. Any attack that comes against you in the ministry, if you depend on the power of the Holy Spirit, God will give you the ability to soldier on right through the middle of it. Now, I want to say this, and I always try to be as honest as I can with you guys and what's appropriate as far as ministry and passing things on. The majority of the time, I would say almost, you know, by far the majority of the time when I'm here teaching, I'm in a great mood and I love it. I love to teach the Word of God. I get excited about the Word of God. But you need to know this, there are times that I'm also a human. And there are some Sundays or Saturday nights or Wednesdays that I am really maybe bummed out about something. Maybe there's something heavy. Maybe it's a spiritual attack. It's something going on in another part of life. But the bottom line is that as a leader and someone that's working with others, you have to simply soldier on and do it anyway. And you have to be careful about your attitude. I'm not saying be fake. Don't pretend everything's great when it's not. You need to be honest, and you can have people pray for you and, hey, this is a hard time. But the point is that as a leader, you need to always make sure that you're building people up and encouraging them and not tearing them down, because that bad time will pass. And our job as leaders is to be encouraging the body of Christ into higher things. There have been times I've not felt like smiling when I'm teaching, and God has said, no, you go out there and you be a good representative of me. And so this is something we have to realize, that being a soldier, sometimes you're bloodied up. Sometimes you take some shrapnel. You're in a foxhole, whatever the case might be. And you know what the same thing is? You can't look around at the rest of the troops and say, well, we might as well all give up. It's a bad day. Say, no, we soldier on. Be encouraged. This too will pass. God's going to be faithful. And God, by his grace, is going to give you the strength to do that if you simply trust him. And that's what Paul was saying. Look, I had tears. I had trials. I had those that wanted to do me in, but I continued on, and God gave me the grace to do it. That's the key. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And notice the next thing Paul says. He says, not only did he continue on, look at verse 20. He says, I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you. Now we think about that. Well, of course, he said everything that was helpful. But being a pastor now of over 30 years and being here as long as we've been here, I realize sometimes you say things that are helpful that are not fun and easy to say. In other words, helpful is not always just the nice thing somebody wants to hear. Helpful is not always just the easy thing. Sometimes helpful things are hard things that are said in love. The Bible says the wounds of a friend are faithful. Think about that for a moment. You mean your friend walks up to you and wounds you and you think that's faithful? Again, I don't like to get too much imagery in my mind, but I think about seeing people set somebody's bone when a joint's gone out. I've already done it there, haven't I? I've already got the mind thinking that way. But you see, that's a helpful thing. It's a painful thing. It hurts, but you were just a friend to that person because their body needed to be reset in that area. The surgeon needed to cut someone in a certain place in order to be able to fix the thing that needed to be fixed or needed to be removed, and it's painful. And if you don't understand what's going on, you might even get mad. Now, you wouldn't have a doctor or a friend setting a bone, but think about it in the body of Christ. What if somebody comes to you in love and says, I need to talk to you. There's something going on that we've got to deal with, and they begin to encourage you in something that maybe you need to repent in. And you're thinking, hey, that's none of your business. Leave me alone or don't judge me, brother, or whatever. When they're coming in love, Paul is saying, look, I came and I said the good things and I said the easy things, the hard things, easy and hard things. He said, maybe it wasn't always what you wanted to hear, but I didn't withhold anything that was helpful because I love you and I want to see you thrive. And sometimes if you love people, you have to say hard things. It's not always received that way. But understand, if you're going to go into ministry, you're going to be called to do that. You're going to have those uncomfortable meetings. You're going to have those uncomfortable moments. And you need to pray for grace. And you need to pray for tact. But if you love them, you're going to do what's best for them so they can be restored. And the Bible says if you rebuke a righteous man, he will love you. Isn't that interesting? If you rebuke a fool, the Bible says, they'll hate you. If you rebuke a righteous man, he will love you even more because he realizes, wow, I didn't want to hear that. That was hard, but that wasn't easy for that person, and they loved me. And so understand, Paul is saying to them, I gave you everything. The good and the bad, I laid it out, everything that was helpful, I wanted to do. And so I did that because I care about you, and that's what ministry is all about. And then notice he says, in that I also taught you publicly and from house to house. Couple of more, notice these ministry principles, really from house to house is not so much there. Certainly that can happen today. Paul's saying basically I was going around to all the different fellowships and teaching, but the word publicly here is huge because again, how many of us have heard the term, religion is a private thing? Listen, religion may be a private thing, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is not. And they're two very different things. If someone has their religion and they don't talk about religion, that's fine. But when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, not obnoxiously, not forcing it on anyone, using tact, using love, knowing when God opens a door and when God closes a door, but we've got to speak. The gospel is not going to go out there just by living a nice life. You have to speak the word of God, and you've got to let people know that they need to repent and they need Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say? What you hear whispered in the ear, shout from the rooftop. And that is what the gospel is. You go and you share it with those who need to hear it. So don't ever let anyone tell you that it's not something that's not to be done publicly. It is to be done publicly, and that means it has to be vocal. And at the same time, notice it says what he did, he shared with both Jews and Greeks. So it wasn't just the Jews that he was going to. He went to them first, but he also went to the Greeks. He was basically giving the gospel for everyone. It's interesting to me sometimes to hear people say, and I haven't heard it in a while, but people will say, well, Christianity is American's religion. I'm like, wait a minute, where did it come from? The Middle East. Okay, so we didn't come up with this. It came from the Middle East and worked its way to America and around the rest of the world, in part due to guys like Paul the Apostle. And so it's not something that just we have come up with and something we have done. The gospel is to be shared with the entire world. And so it doesn't matter what country anyone's in. And so notice he says, I did this with the Jews. I did this with the Greeks. And notice what he did. And guys, here's two more very important ministry principles, and that is he taught them repentance toward God, number one, and secondly, faith in Jesus Christ. That is so huge. The Bible says if we don't repent, we can't be saved. That is why repentance is so important. John the Baptist, the greatest prophet to ever live, he came preaching the message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. His whole message was repentance. The first thing we see Jesus saying, starting out in the Gospels, one of the first things is repent. So the point is that repentance is key because we have to turn from our sin in order to be forgiven of our sin. But then when we tell people they need to repent and turn from their sin, now we need to direct them somewhere. We don't want to empty them out of the life they had, although that life was bad, and not give them someplace to go. And so that's why I said, I preach to you repentance in Christ, but also faith in Christ as well. You need to repent and turn toward Jesus Christ and believe in him, and then you will be saved. And this is part of what a good minister does. We bring up the hard things about repentance, and then give the hope in Jesus Christ, because he is the only way the sins can be washed away. And now we can replace what we removed from our lives, all that sin, and now fill ourselves up with Jesus Christ. And so you know what repentance means. It means basically turning from your sin. And so he says, this is what I taught. Look at verse 22. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await. Again, some amazing verses here when it comes to what true ministry is. And notice here what he says here. He goes down this list. He says, I was bound by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem to suffer. The word bound here literally means something that the Spirit was making him do. That is, God was sending him to Jerusalem for the purpose of suffering. Let that sink in for a minute. I don't want to discourage you. God wants to bless us. God wants to make our lives full and filled with joy, and that's what he does. But understand, a part of being a leader and or just a Christian is sometimes we go through suffering. Now, there's suffering from the world because we're just in a fallen world. And sometimes we simply suffer because of that. And that has nothing to do with God. But this is a principle here that Paul brings up that would shock many pastors today. As a matter of fact, the pastors today that say that God wants everyone always healthy, always wealthy, all these things, never wants any problems. And if you've got problems, you're probably in sin. You need to repent, whatever the case might be. Paul is saying here, I'm walking with God in the power of God as the anointed of God. And God is sending me into suffering. Sometimes God sends you into suffering, guys. Some of you may be in suffering from the world. Some of you may be in suffering sent to you by God. You say, why would God do that? Because God uses suffering for two reasons. Once, the Bible says that we might partake of the suffering of Christ, the goal being that we might know God in a deeper way because we experience what Jesus experienced, and hence we know him in a deeper way. But also, number two, sometimes the only way that we can be changed and grow into what God wants us to be is to go through suffering. And I'm going to add a third thing to that. Sometimes we have to go into situations where we may have to suffer if we're going to reach those people that are lost. You may be called into a country where it's going to take suffering to go in that country, but it's the only way they can be lost. And in that instance, God is calling you into suffering. And so, again, just because you're going through suffering, that doesn't mean you're not walking with God. As a matter of fact, you need to understand it might be that God sent you into it. I think about Paul. Remember Paul going to the third heaven, the Bible tells us. He went where God lives. And then Paul also being personally taught by Jesus in the wilderness. If there's anybody that would have struggled with a level of pride, it would have been Paul. And notice this. It says that Paul had a thorn in his flesh. Who gave Paul that? The Bible says God gave Paul his thorn in the flesh. That kind of flies in the face of the health and well doctrine as well, doesn't it? It says God gave Paul that thorn. And why does God say he did it? So that Paul would not think of himself above measure. That is, I want to keep you humble, Paul. You've seen heaven. You spent 3 years in the wilderness with the resurrected Christ. Okay, not everybody can make that claim. You're one of the apostles. I'm using you all over the world. You may not know it, but you're writing the Bible that's going to last for thousands of years that'll be taught at Calvary Chapel Sunday morning as well as other places. I need to keep you humble. I'm going to give you a thorn. I'm certain that Paul would rather not have that thorn. But then Paul later on said, you know what? I asked the Lord to take it away and he wouldn't. He said, now I've learned to glory in it. I'll say, all right, I'm weak in my flesh. Whatever the weakness was happening because of his thorn that he had, whatever it is, I'm going to trust now by the power of the Holy Spirit, God, that you're going to do the work and now not my flesh. I'll tell you, I can't compare anything in my life to the suffering of what Paul went through. But I can say for the suffering that I think that God allowed me to go through over the years of ministry and for the suffering that God sent me into, and I can look back some of it and I say, God did that. It changed my life. It changed me as a man. It made me more like Christ, and I've got a long way to go, but God is doing the same thing in you. He's making you more like Christ by doing that in your life, and it's something that's irreplaceable. It may not be fun, but Paul survived it, and it not only survived it, Paul overcame it as an overcomer in Christ because of the joy that was set before him. And he's going to get to that in just a moment. Jesus said that he suffered for the joy that was set before him. And for those of you that are suffering, you need to get your eyes on heaven and realize there's going to be a joy that's set before you that's all going to be worth it one day. You know, it's interesting. We've talked about it before. I was reminded last service. Right now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, no matter how bad your situation is or no matter how bad your situation is going to get, this is the lowest place you'll ever be for eternity is on this earth. Now, there may be a harder trial, but on this earth, it is the lowest place you will ever be in all of eternity from this moment on, from today on. It only goes up. And then you get into the kingdom of God and it's glory and joy forever. That's hope. And that's life, and that makes us go, you know what, I can endure this because I know that I have hope and I have joy in the end. The sad thing is, for those in this room who don't know Jesus Christ, this is the best you'll ever have it for all eternity. You're at your peak. This is heaven. Are you enjoying it? I don't mean to be sarcastic, but the Bible says for those who don't know Christ, it only gets worse from this point on. And so that's why it's so important that we preach the gospel and say, have you repented of your sins? Why won't you receive Christ now and be a part of the kingdom of God? And the Holy Spirit is extending that invitation to some of you right now who may not know the Lord in this room or by radio or by streaming or however you're watching or listening today. And so you need to respond to that. You think your life's bad now. My life's so miserable. Why would I turn to God? You think it's bad now. It's going to get way worse for eternity. But here's the hope. You turn to Jesus Christ, there will be joy everlasting in the kingdom of God. Guys, that's an easy trade-off for me. That's an easy trade-off. And so he goes, he says, I'm bound. God said, no, you have to go suffer. This is something I'm going to do, not just in your life, Paul, but something I'm going to do for the lost that are there in Jerusalem because they need to hear about Jesus Christ. So I'm going to allow you to go through this. But even though he knows, he said, well, how did Paul endure? Look what it says. Paul says this, starting in verse 24, he says, but none of these things, well, let me read 23 again. He said, I go to Jerusalem not knowing what will happen to me there, bound to go, except, verse 23, that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city saying that chains and tribulations await me. He says, look, I don't know the things that are going to happen. I'm bound to go to Jerusalem, but in every city I go, all the believers tell me, hey, God's put on my heart to let you know that when you go to Jerusalem, you're going to really suffer. They're going to do this. They're going to bind you and do this stuff. Can you imagine going to every city, being called in ministry, and everywhere you go, people say, hey, I'm about to go through a really bad trial. I would hate that. Can you imagine? I say, thank you, brother. God bless you too. You know, and no, I'm just telling you what the Spirit's saying. You're going to really suffer here. And we see Agabus at one point tries to convince him, don't do this, Paul. Don't go. And Paul's like, look, I've got to go. I've been bound by the Spirit. And how was he able to do this? And how was he able to say this? Look at verse 24. He says, but none of these things move me. Wow. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. That's key. We'll come back to that. So that I may finish my race. How? With joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel and the grace of God. Again, the reason that Paul was able to do this is because Paul realized this is only temporary. Paul says, look, none of these things move me that I've got this suffering ahead. Nothing's going to stop me. Even my life, I don't count my life dear. Maybe they'll kill me, but my life isn't dear to me. Everything's been turned over to the Lord, and I want to give it all to him. And that is the key to his victory in this, is there was nothing dear to him in this world. Now, I know we have family that's dear. I get that. Righteously dear to us, and that we're supposed to love. That's not my point. But what God's goal for us is, we come to a place where there's nothing in this world that compares to what is waiting, and therefore we're willing to offer ourselves to the Lord in all measure for that, and whatever happens is okay. It will not move us because we know we have the hope and the joy of eternal heaven. It's not that God says, I'm going to just call you and try to make you suffer. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, if we do suffer, how are we going to handle that? What things do you hold dear in your life? And so he's saying, are you willing to say, you know what? Nothing down here is going to last. So my focus is going to be on the kingdom. Therefore, it doesn't move me. I'm going to continue on. I'm going to do what it is that God has called me to do. None of the comforts of this world, none of the temporary things of this world. The kingdom of God is what matters, and it's all worth it because of that joy that's set before him. And again, herein lies how the Christian has victory in trials is we realize and we have resolved that one day this is going to pass and we have joy forever in the kingdom of God. And so Paul, again noting this, saying, this is where my focus is. You saw this as an example, and this is where your focus needs to be as well. And so he says, notice this. He says, they don't move me. I don't count it dear to myself, so that I finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. That is, I'm going to finish this race and I'm going to continue to declare the grace of God through Jesus Christ. The last two things to note here in this ministry list, notice what he says. He wanted to finish his race, number one, with joy, number two. He wanted to finish his race. Paul had a race. You have a race. God has given you a race to run. It's not my race. It's not somebody else's race. It's your race. You're not supposed to be like me. You're not supposed to be like anybody else. You are you. God made you that way. He's given you a race to run. And what I love about this is how you run your race and the reward you get is not dependent on me or anybody else around you in the kingdom of God. It is simply you on your track by yourself running with God. Now, we work among the body of Christ, but you've got your lane, you're on your track. Think of it like a marathon, and everybody's spread out. You're running your race, and God is saying, you be faithful. Find out what your race is. Step out, seek me, run your race, set your pace, and I'll come along with the Holy Spirit and give you the cups of water you need along that race. You continue to soldier on, and you simply do it with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you finish. And when you finish that course, I've got great reward for you in heaven, and there's great joy that's waiting. And that was the second thing he said. I know that as I'm running this race, I may go down there. They may kill me. All right, maybe I'll die. What's the worst thing that happens? I go into the kingdom of God and I see the glory of God. And so Paul said in one of the places, he said, you know, it's better for me if I stay with you, the church. He said, or it's better for me if I go to heaven rather and be with the Lord. That's better. He said, although my heart is to be with you and I don't want to leave you alone. He says, it's much better if I go to heaven. What did Jesus say to the disciples? He said, I go to a place, if you knew where I was going, you would rejoice. Now, that's hard when it comes to being a human and the emotions and people around us that we love that are moving on into the kingdom. But it's the understanding that this is a race that we run. And when our race is done, then we head right on into the kingdom and there's eternal joy forever. Guys, are you running the race? As we wrap it up today, are you running the race? Have you found your course? And maybe you say, I don't know what my course is yet. Step out. Step out and say, God, I feel that I'm called to be a leader. Maybe you say, no, I'm just called to be a servant. We're all called to be servants, whatever the case might be. Step out and start running your race. And if you're in the wrong race, you'll know it. You know, if you step out on the track and you find out there's a 440 going on and you're not a sprinter, you're going to be real fast to step back from that. Or 100 meter, you go, okay, I can't keep up with these guys. These guys run the 100 meter and I'm looking at them going, how do you do that? And then, but then also you start running long term. You go, hey, I can do this. The other guys start dropping off. You've got something that you're gifted to do and an ability. Find what your race is, get in there and go for it, and there's going to be great reward. And for those that are suffering, look, I don't want you to think that God is putting suffering on you. It may just be the world. But if God is allowing you or actually sending you into a time of suffering, it's because he loves you. It may not feel like it. It may not feel very good right now. But God is doing something in you that can't be done any other way. He will never do anything or allow anything in our life that can be done an easier way. God just doesn't say, I'm going to make this hard just because I'm going to do that. No, there are some things that I look back at my life and things that God has done in me that I know he had to do it the hard way or I wouldn't have learned it. It was just a part of how I'm made. And yet I see the faithfulness of God to get me through it and to teach me through it and to fill me with his spirit and joy on the other side and make me more like him. It's all worth it. Be encouraged. Remember, this is the worst it will be for the believer. It's all up from here. Trust God. He will give you the cup of water you need to continue your race, and God will also give you wonderful breaks of grace and joy in the midst of it.
You've been listening to Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark has been teaching through the book of Acts. The book of Acts tells the incredible story of how the early church was empowered by the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel throughout the world. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest missionaries in history, was transformed by God's grace and used mightily to preach the gospel. Yet, Paul constantly reminded believers that everything was done by God's power, not his own. He didn't rely on persuasive words or human wisdom. He simply proclaimed the truth, and the Holy Spirit opened hearts and changed lives. Where do you need the power of the Holy Spirit to work in your life today? We'd be happy to speak with you or connect with you through our website. You can call us at 865-609-1385. Again, that phone number is 865-609-1385. You can also visit our website, thewaymedia.net, and use our questions and comments link to reach out. Want to hear this message again? You can easily download the Way Media app. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville, and we hope you've been encouraged by this time in the book of Acts. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to have you join us on a Sunday morning. TheWayMedia.net has all the information you need about service times and location. We look forward to meeting you. Please join us again next time as Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Acts here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary, Knoxville.